We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami.
It feels like Miami. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today is not producer and co-founder Brian Goines. Brian is Brian's in charge of our t-shirt empire right now. So Brian's locked away in a dungeon, making sure that we get our t-shirt store up for y'all. In his stead, our professional screw-up, Alex Toledo.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
He's been a pod, by the way. People can also listen to Alex on the Five Reasons Sports Network, co-host of Five on the Floor. So you do your work. That's where you make your bread. So you make your money, not over here.
Correct.
Yeah, that's Alex. Alex is big time. Alex is credentialed. We're not credentialed. Alex is credentialed. We were credentialed. That was a long time ago. It was, feels
worst version of big time ever.
Feels like forever ago, and I would walk out to Hassan Whiteside's locker, and he would hate me. This feels like eons ago, and now, you know, they have a good team. All these smiling faces you see, and by the way, if you're a podcast audience, you can follow all our shows live here on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat. Get involved with chat. Be a part of our shows live. We do live pregame, postgames, and all our pods live on Twitch. So join us right now at twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat. On the right of the screen, Sandis Findiari of the Light Years podcast. What's up, Sam? You've been on a bunch. It's good to have you back.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
It's good to have you. And on the bottom of the screen, first time on the program, I've been wanting to have you on forever, the great Andy Liu.
You made a fatal error, but thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Listen, we aspire, like I've talked to Sam about this a bunch. Heat Twitter and Warrior Twitter, I feel like we're kin. And you would have fit in so well with like big three Heat Twitter.
Oh, yes. You know, that's the good thing about rooting for a team that was the villain. There's really no villains now in today's NBA. But back then, when you had LeBron at the peak of his powers, athletically, mentally, all of it, and just people hating him for the first few seasons, I feed on that. Like, that would have been the best just for social media and content. There's nothing better.
Well, like, I love now, like, now you have pitchforks against poor Steve Kerr. Like, what, you're out here, like, slandering Steve on the timeline, which is my favorite. Because, like, we experienced Heat Twitter, right? And Heat Twitter, now all of a sudden we're turning on Eric Spoelstra, which I heard you guys on the pod saying, well, one of the only upgrades to Steve Kerr is Eric Spoelstra.
I heard about that, yeah.
And Heat Twitter is like, well, fuck Eric Spoelstra. Why? Well, who can we get? Steve? Can we get, you know, somebody else? I think that's funny.
I heard about that. Not, that's I'm crazy not. That you're not.
I'm not. Fuck, I'm not dumb. Like, yeah. it's like Alex, you've seen it. It's insane. Like, and I think kind of, and we're going to get into some of Wade's comments on Curry. We're going to get into a preview of Heat Warriors. That's tomorrow. We're going to get into general NBA stuff. But I like this is a good place to start, because like fans' reactions to shit that I don't think they fully understand. Like, they just see the Heat run a revolving door of dribble handoffs, right? And they see like the Heat not score because, you know, Andre can't shoot and teams are helping off him on the corner. And then all of a sudden, it's great, dude. It's insane. Like, Jimmy's running high pick and roll, and Andre's man is like, I cannot guard you. And you're going to shoot because Andre's a willing shooter. And it's just been a disaster for their offense. Like, was that something that you guys went through a lot? I mean, you guys had much better shooters than the Heat do.
It makes life a lot easier, yeah, when the Warriors had they could deal with Andre Iguodala. I think the ironic thing is now the Warriors are going through the same problem. So it's they like even if they had Andre Iguodala, like, we're busy yelling at Kelly Oubre, and Kelly Oubre is a good he would be an elite 3-point shooting option over Andre Iguodala. What we do miss, and I'd be curious to see your take, is we miss Andre Iguodala being able to understand how basketball is played. The way that Steve Kerr likes, the way that Steph Curry likes, because I think the big issue is now the Warriors have a lot of guys that don't know how to play basketball. So they pretty much have Steph and Draymond kind of, they're like teachers. They're like middle school teachers. and they're like dragging guys along. So that's kind of how it's going. Andre's smarter than all of them.
I feel like that's Jimmy. Welcome in, Brian, for producer and co-founder Brian Goins. Brian, I thought you were working on our t-shirt empire. What's going on?
Put me on this graphic saying I was going to be on this podcast over Alex's name. I thought, Alex, you were banned.
can we see designs in the new t-shirt?
Brian, you have t-shirt designs? You want to like show them up on your phone? What do we got? We have a trusted post. Sam's not going to trick me into unveiling our t-shirt empire.
I could show one.
You're not going to trick me. You're not. Okay, Brian, you get that ready.
I'm working on a pretty fun one, actually.
Why are you in such a dark room? What happened? So are you in witness protection?
It's just dark.
It feels dark. What is that in the back? I've never noticed that picture.
It looked like you're up to something.
Yeah.
It was a SB autograph poster that I got on eBay like 5 years ago.
That is incredibly lame. But okay. Well, thank you for joining us. I thought you weren't. Andre.
Really closely, there's a Miami Heat beat poster.
Oh, look at that. That's old. That's from like 2014.
Yeah. There's a Bosch and a Wade one right there. Yeah,
we've been running this for a bit.
In the front of me, but I have a Hassan one here for some reason. I need to throw that out.
I have a pitch for a t-shirt idea. You need to make like a Mount Rushmore of Heat legends. It's got to be like Wade, Zoe,
preseason Gerald Green,
Udonis,
and then
you by know, Mount Hassan Rushmore. You want me to like Photoshop their faces?
Yes. I need Wade. So I need Zoe. I need Whiteside.
You guys are like the kings Beasley. Of merch.
Chalmers, Beasley.
I have a question, because you guys are like pretty much like the kings of merch right now. Like your limited drops are like the best things ever. How does that work?
Shouldn't you ask this after the show? Shouldn't we just focus on that?
We gotta know the ins and outs. What are we gonna talk about? The Heat?
I liked Andy's talk about how Draymond and Steph are middle school teachers, and I feel like Andre's kind of the same. Andre's babysitting Casey Okpala, who never plays. He's trying to teach Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson how to play defense. He's failing at that.
Fuck Andy. That. This team deserves zero coverage.
Andy, he's so mad. Andre's so mad all the time. Like, he'll start yelling at Duncan, or he'll get in their ear. It's incredible. Like, I feel bad for him because he sat out the year in Memphis because he didn't want to play for a bad team. Memphis looks pretty nice, I'm not gonna lie.
You guys could do him a favor, buy him out of there. Get him out of there.
No, they need that contract. They need that $50 million to match salary for a trade with Bradley Beal. They need it.
It is, Sam. It is crazy how the similarities are the same here right now. The Warriors also talk about Bradley Beal nonstop, and they also whine about how dumb the players are outside of Steph and Draymond. It is literally the same thing.
I feel akin to you guys.
Yeah, no, Heat are officially my Eastern Conference team. We got to relate culture to culture. We're trying to outculture you. You've seen what the Warriors have done with Andrew Wiggins. I don't know that the Heat can match that.
That's culture. That's what we thought we would do to Wiggins. Andy, Sam, we would talk ourselves into Andrew Wiggins. You know, if shout out to Chef Trilly, hashtag freeze Chef Trilly. Would convince us that Andrew Wiggins with culture
And look, I'm not gonna say too much because 2-3 years ago, I'm pretty sure if you look in the Heat Beat archives, like you'll find me being like, yeah, the Heat could turn Andrew Wiggins into a player at some point, like a trade deadline article or something. No, I mean, look, Wiggins has looked like a really good perimeter defender for the Warriors, but I mean, look, man, they got Hassan Whiteside paid a max contract, so I think that's tough. I think that's tough to beat right there. They got him 100 mil. Got multiple teams offering him that during that summer.
Hey, Warriors got Harrison Barnes 100 mil.
That's been my guy.
Take Harrison Barnes.
Been pounding the table for Harry B. Did you guys nickname him Harry B?
Yes.
He probably doesn't like that, right?
Does any Warriors player like anything that I say or Sam says? Like outside of Steph, probably.
KD like Sam, doesn't he? He's like you.
I leave that up to Sam.
Sam tried to keep KD in the Bay, and Andy and Ethan Strauss ran him out.
Now that was all Ethan.
Thank you.
Andy didn't write a book. He just shot out some tweets.
Shout out to House of Strauss. Good show. And Andy, you were on recently, right?
Yeah, I was. Shout out to Ethan.
That pod that he did with Bogut the other day was really good. I recommend it's more general NBA, and if you think the Warriors are interesting, check out that because that was really good, as well as Andy and Sam's pod, Light Years, and everything on Blue Wire. Blue Wire is dope. We have cool shit on Blue Wire, so check out the Blue Wire family. Kind of want to talk. What you got, Brian?
Your favorite podcast is on Blue Wire.
Which one?
Tim MVA's podcast.
Oh yeah, we're having a guest. We're having Tim at Tim MBA on.
I thought we squashed this beef during the finals.
He's coming on now. We're friends now. We've come full circle.
I love that they're familiar with the whole.
No,
situation.
Yes, no, Sam knows.
Oh, I'm very familiar with that.
Sam is management. Sam knows that I was mean to Tim on
anybody
Twitter.
Anybody with an NBA Reddit knows.
Yeah, everybody with an NBA Reddit. I was the main character of Laker Twitter for a day. That wasn't very fun. They're mean.
I put my account on private because I got scared they're gonna dox.
Yeah, Brian Rant. Guys, it's the finals, right? The Heat haven't been in the finals since it was 2014, and 2014 Twitter was the Wild West, right? Like it's not that way anymore. Ooh. I'm operating under big three Twitter sensibilities, and I got a little ahead of myself. I was mean to people, and then I was left alone.
A lot.
I mean, everybody left me out to dry. I was out there by myself.
Everyone likes to talk trash, and then someone says something that supposedly crossed the line. Also, it's like, whoa, man. Well, yeah. That's not cool. It's the same thing every day.
Yeah.
Twitter gets divided like before 2014, after 2014, right? Like, I think that's the fair way to divvy it up.
I mean, because
if you haven't scrubbed your pre-14 tweets,
what are you really doing? Yeah, you're living on the edge.
Is that Mark Cuban app still around to delete old tweets?
Was that Cyberdust? Is that what it was called?
I think so. Ahead of his genius. Time. I want to talk about. So Dwayne had a comment that Steph Curry is his favorite player to watch in the NBA right now.
High IQ.
IQ guy. And I kind of feel like Steph's Dwayne's 09 season and this like Steph season are really similar. And I, like, not just because they're both like excellent, incredible, top 20 all-time players, right? It's more of like, you know, it's Dwayne with a bunch of dudes, right? And then like maybe, you know, one guy that's like you can count on every night. And Steph's kind of playing the same, right? Other than Draymond, and he's not helping much on offense in terms of a spacer or a score.
No.
I mean, he's a fucking basketball savant. But other than that, you know, it's rough. Spacing's out there is rough. And, you know, they're about 500, and I kind of feel like this is who the Warriors are. They can beat anyone on a given night. And on any given night, their offense could just not work. And if Steph's not putting up 30 on 50, 40, 90, then, you know, good luck. Unless somebody else has a random good night. And I don't know. I kind of, Sam, and you had tweeted some number that like Dwayne and Steph and Harden and Jordan are like among a small list who's like 50% from two on like a certain amount of scoring or whatever. Like their seasons over what?
I was going to say for their career, over 50% from two for guards who've played over a certain number of games. Like it's really just like Wade, Jordan, Harden, Steph, like, which is just an absurd list when you think about it, because most guards get stuck taking hard shots from outside. So to be able to make over 50% of your shots as a guard for your whole career, pretty impressive.
And Dwayne didn't play in space, right? Like, I see Harden, you know, Harden gets to play with, you know, five Daquan out.
Cook, man. What are you talking about?
Daquan and Jermaine and Udonis in the paint. Like, I you know, I was watching, like, and I've said this on the podcast.
No Darrell Wright slander.
No, I love Darrell. Well, Darrell,
he was only good when he got to the Warriors. That's the
Darrell thing. Only played 1 year here. Like, he, like, actually only played 1 year. He was here forever and never played 1 year. 09, 010. He was good that year. I was upset that Alex, you remember, I was upset they didn't sign him and Q Rich for the LeBron team.
You're talking about Darrell?
Darrell and Q Rich. That would have helped.
They could have used Darrell, man. They really could have.
I could use Darrell now. I mean, their offense is so bad. But, like, I don't know. Like, I like the comp between Steph and Dwayne. And, like, when you have a guy that can do anything on any given night, I know Steph's not the defender he is, Andy, but, like, you're essentially just watching to see him do some crazy shit. Like, at the end of the day, like, I don't think you're expecting to maybe bother a team in the first round, but, like, I think the season's more about the individual than, like, the team success.
Nothing has got, I was telling Sam this, yelling at Sam this morning, nothing has gotten me more angry this season than loving Steph and watching him play and then having the rest of the team piss me off just constantly. From organization to the coach to Brad. I'm like Brad Wanamaker. I feel bad that all I do is make fun of Brad, but who cares? Whatever. He's making like $3 million a year. It's all I do. Like, I love Steph. I think most people enjoy watching Steph and he's fantastic. He looks like he's, you know, back to MVP Steph. And I just, every time I got to watch Kelly Oubre dribble into three people in transition and throw up a half-assed 8-footer, I punch a wall. That's how this season's going.
Look, the parallels are there, man. Like, I feel like a lot of us kind of feel that way with Jimmy and the Heat. We're like, Jimmy's kind of doing everything right. And I think everybody loves Bam for sure. But I think we've all kind of seen that Bam still has a lot to go as a scorer. And everybody kind of wants him to be there faster than he is. He can't punish guys on switches consistently enough. He doesn't get to the post on smaller guys consistently enough. And Jimmy's just kind of the one who's always doing the right thing and always stepping up, especially now when they need to climb themselves out of a hole. And Jimmy doesn't want to play like this. It's like, oh my God, the rest of this team. And then you're talking about Brad Wanamaker, like, being that premier signing for the Warriors, and just not looking that great.
That's our Mo Harkless. Been
Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless. Like, it's similar situation right now.
Off of here because you said he was a premier signing.
That was your guy. That was
the
big
parallels
movie.
Are there, man.
I want to say the one difference between
Wiseman and Precious were teammates.
Oh my God. The one difference between this and Wade's 09 season to me is Wade was he was 27 that year, right? Or 26, 27.
Ish, yeah.
And so while he was, like, clearly in his prime and very much one of the three best players in the league, no matter what LeBron stands want to tell you, he had years ahead of him where he knew he was good. Right now, what we're dealing with the Warriors is, like, Steph is still one of the three best players in the NBA. It's hard to deny that when you watch him. But he's turning 33 in less than a month. And it just feels like this team is kind of like they should be all in, committed to trying to compete for a title for the next couple of years while Steph is still playing at this absurd level. And instead they're doing this like long game thing, thinking they could be the Spurs and like they have like an 8-year window. And that's kind of what's frustrating.
I kind of feel like the Heat behaved the same. I mean, like in the big three, like they really thought that this would be forever. They
Luol Deng was going to be the continuation. He was an extended.
No, it wasn't even Luol Deng. It was Josh McRoberts and who was the other motherfucker they signed
Danny
that
Granger.
Year? And Danny Granger, right? Like Pat's, you know.
They drafted Shabazz. That was what they went into the pitch
South
with.
Beach Aristotle is out here giving LeBron these guys that nobody wants. And it kind of blew up in his face. And I mean, I know that this hasn't really happened to the Warriors, but like Miami kind of waited for Giannis, waited for guys to be available. And they got burned, and then they had no cap. Like they had, you know, they let guys walk. They had no cap
similarity.
Yeah, they had no cap space to improve. They're just waiting on Giannis. They're waiting on a whale free agent, and that guy signed a supermax. Beal apparently wants to stay in an abusive relationship and doesn't want to leave Washington. Yeah, right. And they didn't want to pull the trigger on Harden because they felt like the Houston Rockets asked for too much. And now they're sitting here staring at 15 Mo Harkless minutes as they lose to the Clippers third stringers. It's like, what the fuck are they doing? You know what I mean? Like, you watch and the team has clear ailments, and I don't know. I can feel you, Andy, because like watching this team, it's like frustrating. And at least like Steph does cool shit every night. Like, I'm just exhausted watching Jimmy. I feel bad for him.
Well, you guys have also been like the most. Have you guys had the worst luck with COVID? I mean, I know yes. for like a month there. Have you had your whole team one game?
Like, literally, like, they had eight guys and Chris Silva was like guarding Joel Embiid post-ups. It was really sad.
So much Max Drew, so much Gabe Vincent. Like, it's these guys are really earning the hell out of their two-way deals. Like, they're getting so much bang for their buck on those deals because they're playing them so much.
It's been frustrating because Goran, Jimmy, and Bam have played 66 minutes all year. And Goran now is out with the groin injury. And at his age, you know, you get a groin injury. God knows how long. And he was clearly rushed back the first time because, you know, they felt like, you know, they were treading water. And now you have an issue where, you know, Jimmy's not only playing heavy minutes, he's like playing almost all the second half, but he plays a taxing style, right? Like, you know, I know that Steph's kind of going in the paint more and kind of, you know, kind of getting up on penetration and stuff, but Jimmy can only get free throws. Like, Jimmy's not a good shooter. Jimmy's not a good mid-range shooter. Like, he can get a little bit, you know, if he gets in his bag. But I mean, most part, it's going downhill. It's going to the rim. It's offensive rebounding. It's getting fouled. And it's exhausting. It's taxing. It looks like it hurts. Alex, it looks like it hurts. He's getting whacked. Oh, it definitely hurts. Oh, my God. And, like,
and that's why I think he does his load managing thing. Like, remember last season when everybody was kind of complaining, like, oh, why isn't Jimmy giving you, you know, 23-plus every night? And everybody was kind of complaining about his averages staying around 19. And my theory throughout the season when that's kind of how he load manages because of his play style, or, like, he can't do that 100% take it to the cup as much as you maybe want him to throughout the game, throughout the season, because he's already past 30. He's, what is he, 31 at this point? And, you know, turning that up in the playoffs and just doing it for such an extended period of time, like, that's got to be really taxing, man. And you mentioned Goran and Jimmy and Bam not playing together a lot. That's obviously really important because those are probably their three best players. And, you know, Goran.
Not probably.
They are. And Goran being out, like how you said, has exposed that problem where without him, like, you really lack another guy who can go north-south, who can collapse the paint, like you said, another shows. And like, without Goran and somebody who's clearly on the decline as a 34-year-old point guard with leg injuries, like, it's time for a shakeup, man. And it's hard to, like, I understand the criticism on Spo. I think it's fair because there is so much of the dribble handoff stuff and Bam isn't really taking advantage of it when teams overplay, but he can only do so much with the roster that's in front of him. Like, these guys cannot do that much as far as what they need them to actually add variety to the playbook, because I do agree they need to add variety. Like, I don't think they should be relying on Duncan as much as they are right now. And, you know, with Goran being out, it's pretty limited, man. Tyler can't do it on his own, by the way. Like, I think that's kind of what we learned. He's improved, but he can't do what Goran does. He has to be next to a handler, like you pointed out.
What do you guys think of Tyler Hero as a player? Because I feel like he's slowly becoming a lightning rod in the sense that, like, anyone who's not an elite player, but also not like a role player. He's better than a role player.
The Heat's, like, Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I feel like different people have different expectations for what they think what he is as a player now and what they think he will be as a player.
So I'm going to give you some stats I kind of was digging today. So Duncan and Tyler without Goran and Jimmy, the Heat have a minus 14 net rating and a 101 offensive rating. It's just total shit. When Duncan and Tyler play with Jimmy, they're plus 9 net rating with a 112 offensive rating. Now we're getting somewhere. When Duncan and Tyler play with Goran, plus 17 net rating, 128 offensive rating. When they don't play with another ball handler and creator, they can't do shit. Tyler can't hub an offense, and obviously Duncan can't hub an offense, but I mean, let's be
yeah, it's not his role.
Color a surprise, right? But like, yeah. You know, those are, you know, and those guys, like, because I was thinking about it in the context of, like, can those guys exist together? Because Tyler is going to be the guy that'll fetch you return for a star, right? Like, Tyler is the guy that they clearly believed in. The organization felt this guy is going to take a leap where he can be an elite ball handler and scoring hub. That we don't need to get another guy. We can get Avery Bradley, and that's fine. We don't need to get another scorer. Because, like, clearly in the playoffs and against the Lakers, you know, they needed another scorer. And I know that guys were hurt, but, like, even before that, it was clear that they They needed another guy to get points from the perimeter, and they don't have him. He's a lightning rod here. Like, he's polarizing. Obviously, like, there's a lot of elements that go into that. You know, people like the spunky white kid. Like, it's just fact. Like, that's
shocking.
Like, and if, yeah, no, like, and he has pretty like good. These stands that, and he's good enough to like justify some people like loving him. But like, you can't say a bad thing about him. You can't suggest to trade him. Like, honestly, if you had told me right now, I trade Harrison Barnes for Tyler straight up, I'd probably do that.
I would give.
I like that take though.
I love the choir of boos. That was fun. That was
amazing. Brian's like shaking his head. He's so disappointed.
Same.
I would give anything for the Warriors to be able to identify talent like Tyler Hero. Like, I don't even know that Hero's ever going to be an All-Star. I think he's going to.
You think
really
he's special?
Good.
I don't think he's special.
I think he's a second year guard. I think he's a second year guard who's averaging 17 points a game reasonably efficiently, and he can create his own shot. And that's all I'm going to say to you is the Warriors drafted right Jordan Poole and Jacob Evans and a lot of these guards who can't do anything. So maybe he's not a superstar, but he's objectively a win at what, 13th? The 13th pick? Is that what he was?
Huge win. For that pick, absolutely, it's a huge win. And look, by the way, that comeback.
Everyone's mad at me on chat. Everyone's mad at me. Yeah,
I'm reading this pretty funny.
Yeah, if you want a Kendrick Nunn back.
Yeah, do you guys miss Kendrick Nunn
at all? You know, look, he's not.
The Warriors' goal is to have no one who can dribble the ball.
Yeah, like
he can't dribble either.
But I've seen him take three dribbles without turning it over. Number one, I've seen him make a 3-pointer. Number two,
might be that clip.
The standards aren't high here. Like, we've got Jordan Poole, you know, in the G League. He was a first round draft pick. He's in the G League, and he has his first game yesterday that he scored 30 points efficiently. Before that, he was scoring like 23 points on 23 shots in the freaking G League. So, you know, we'll take Kendrick Nunn because we are stuck with the likes of Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion.
Nice in the G League.
Yeah, you better be nice in the G League if you're.
Oh,
you
know, I like this deal. Do you want to make it for Nunn and Harkless? Let's swap our garbage.
I would do that. I would do that right now. I would drive Brad to the airport.
Yeah.
Can we go back
to Gianni's take of trading Tyler for Harrison Barnes?
Maybe I jumped the gun a second. Harry B is a good fit. He's what they need. They need a power forward. They literally don't have one. They're playing poor Kelly Olynyk there. They don't have any scoring from the wing. Harry's been good this year. He's almost 50-40-90 shooting the ball well. You know, he's a switchy defender, which, you know, they don't have a guy at the four that can switch reasonably. Not that he's a stopper, but, you know, he'll survive. And anything to play less Andre. Because, like, in the bubble.
Their best asset just for, I mean, their best non-Jimmy Bam asset for Harrison Barnes.
What do we do after that? Like, is that it? That's the only move that we make? Is Harrison Barnes the guy who had, like, the worst NBA Finals in history?
Tyler wasn't much better, Brian. Like, Tyler was pretty bad.
That's not fair.
I felt bad for Harrison Barnes. I felt so bad for Harrison, especially because Draymond was like lighting it up in game seven and Terry just couldn't shit. How did you guys experience that?
Well, Alan Smiley-Geach might be a good backup guy for Bam. I know that's a good one. You guys ever heard of him?
No.
So you were saying how Duncan.
Not a real NBA player? Did you just
I went to Summer up? League 2 years in a row. I know a lot about Smiley-Geach. Guys,
a lot of people are calling him the Serbian Wilt. So that's all.
Could be the next Nikola. Like, he has a good back to the basket, high IQ. You know, I think he's balding at age 19, which is very impressive. So, could be good in South Beach. Looks
like Ingles, hybrid.
LeBron balded at a young age.
Smiley, yeah,
balding at a young age.
they have some.
So we need players like that. I think I forgot who said it, man. I think it was on Heat Beat. Somebody said that this Heat team is devoid of players that you can consistently make fun of, like they have been in the past. And you guys having Smiley just for consistent content, like I really miss that.
I think we're the reason he tore his meniscus. They're just like, these guys are roasting him too hard. Let's give him a surgery.
That's what happened with Myers. I'm pretty sure that's what happened with Myers.
We couldn't make any more standing anthem jokes, and now he can't. Now he'll not stand for a while.
Ever since he stood, he's been sitting.
He's at home playing Call of Duty or whatever. Yeah, I mean, they don't have it. Just gets us upset because, like, you have Olenek, who you kind of need to play well, and you can't make fun of him for his goofy hair or anything. You just gotta be like, hey, KO, like, gotta hit some corner threes, you know, like, gotta move, gotta. It's tough. I wanted to ask you guys, like, from the outside, because he'd have obviously underperformed, and we can sit here in our Heat Twitter echo chamber and make excuses, right? We could say, well, they haven't been healthy. Well, Goran hasn't played. Well, if you look at the numbers and if these lineups are on the floor together, you know, they're playing winning basketball. Like, we could do all the bullshit and we could talk ourselves right into once they get healthy, blah, blah, blah. But like Sam, like, you experienced this team from the outside. Like, you watch, like, what, like, do you think, like, they just suck? Like, what? Like, is this who they are?
I've literally given them a pass because they're the most COVID-laden team in the NBA. I don't buy that they're not going to make the playoffs. One, like, the East sucks. They have too many good players to not just, like, they can put together a 3-week period and be fine. Now, if your question is, do I think they can compete with the top teams in the East this year?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. I think it's just Phil. I really just think it's Philly and Brooklyn. I think Milwaukee's just as big of a joke as they were last year.
Ooh, jeez.
I'm with you though. Their defense has fallen off a cliff,
I think the Heat are at this point capable of getting up to the same level as every team other than Brooklyn and Philly right now. That's where I'm at with them. And yeah, I mean, it's the same reason I don't really roast the Lakers too much. It's like, yeah, you guys played till mid-October. I'm not surprised you look awful right now, and it just looks like a bunch of dudes who don't want to play basketball.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Denver had the same thing. Like, Denver started off really slow, right? Like, Denver.
We're 1-10 against 500 teams or above.
Yeah, and but Jimmy and Bam have only played like for three of those. And Goran has all. I know. Listen, I'm with you.
I like Brian.
Brian's totally fucking right. It's like
next man up.
When a team shows you who they are, you know, you should listen.
We have enough.
Yeah, we have enough.
That's a problem. It's a problem with the Warriors, too, is that every time Sam and I have someone that's not every day pissed off about Kelly Oubre on, they're like, what are you guys? Did you guys expect this team to be a top three seed? Like, did you expect this team to be like 8 games above 500? And we're sitting here like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm sick of watching. Like, I'm sick of watching. You know, Steve Kerr talk about we're not trying to win. We're not trying to chase wins, right? Like,
does he say that?
That's not what he said. That's not what this season's about.
There you go. Seriously,
he said that. I cannot imagine Spo saying that.
Like, no, really Spo would never say that.
Spo on the spot if he said that.
The reason we love Spo is just because he's got the strongest immigrant dad vibes in the NBA. Just very. Oh, like, no, there's no excuses. He's got like two guys off the street, the two-way contract guy, and he expects them to win.
We have enough. That's what he's known for. He's said that as long as he's been around. We have enough. And he's been saying that throughout this whole time, even when they were sporting 8-man rotations for weeks at a time. That's incredible that Steve Kerr says that. Curry out there.
That's such a West Coast thing to say.
I don't get it if your best players were out, but
I think he legitimately trolls us. That's like it's
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. Steph and Steve are pretty aligned. They're pretty aligned on how they feel. I don't think Steph is mad about it.
I don't think Draymond likes hearing that.
I don't think Draymond likes hearing anything that anybody says.
doesn't he like Kerr? He likes Kerr, though, right?
Yeah, I think they're fine.
You guys need to get him on. You need the light years Draymond crossover where he's just unfiltered. Smolnik
is asking, do Warriors fans still like Draymond? Why wouldn't they? He's been good.
It's always just ever since he signed with Clutch, there's been a little bit of is he Warrior first or is he Clutch Prime first?
He had his first double digit game against the Mavs last week, and he gets online and immediately starts tweeting first Laker double shit. Digit. Yeah, first double digit because despite the fact that Steph has given him 4-on-3 opportunities, 45 minutes a game, he still can't score 10 points. He's an NBA basketball player, by the way. That's like he is a real NBA player.
He's a real one.
10 points. So
he's
a real one.
How many?
Honestly, he does lead this defense. Like the defense is only good because of him. So
how many guys on the Warriors do you trust?
That's not bad.
Because I was thinking about that in the context of me. Like, how many guys on that team do you're like, I trust you to be a basketball player? That's good.
Curry and Clay.
Clay currently has like 4 different cats on him. So
I still trust him more than Wanamaker, but I would say like what? Steph Draymond. Steph,
who'd you say third? I'm sorry.
I don't know. Like Wiggins, Sam? Like half of Wiggins maybe? Like Wiggins every other game, you would say?
Trust is a sliding scale. I trust Steph to do whatever.
Okay. Steph.
Draymond is still very much as smart as they come. He's really testing the boundaries of how effective you can be without being able to score the ball.
another parallel between the Heat. You can say the same thing for Andre Iguodala, man.
Yeah.
Draymond's just like Andre on steroids in that aspect.
Everyone else is kind of a placeholder. Wiggins has been fine for what he is. I like Wiggins. I semi-trust him. Everyone else, you know, if they're gone tomorrow, I'm not going to cry.
Juan Toscano-Anderson's a two-way player, by the way. He's probably the most trustworthy defensive player outside of, I'm not joking, outside of Draymond.
No Wiseman.
I mean,
I like Wiseman.
I like his talent. I'm a big fan of where he's going. That does not mean he's there yet. So I think those are two different things. Like I'm a big fan of the prospect. Does that mean I want the ball in his hands at the end of the game tomorrow? Like he's not going to play against the Heat. But if he was, you know, I'd like Bam's chances to strip him there.
Who would you rather have, him or Precious?
Wiseman. That's not even a brand. That's not even a question.
I'm just wondering. I want to know.
We don't even want Precious. We haven't talked about this, but like legit, like how does he fit into their future? Because he like his free throw shooting is garbage. I don't see him ever playing next to Bam. I don't really ever see Bam being a 3-point shooter, like ever. Like if he does, it's like 5 years down the line. So I don't see how he and Bam can play together. So like at that point I start to ask, well, like, should you try to move him for something and like fit more? Like,
I understand throwing him in a package. If you're going to throw in a, you know, do something that's going to upgrade the team and you know, you got to weigh the cost. But in general, I'm still in on Precious. Like, I mean,
he's good.
Look, I understand the thought process behind drafting. And you guys saying that, like, you know, drafting a center who's mostly going to play behind Bam. And like you said, there's no, you know, him and Bam playing together is not going to happen in the next couple of years, probably the next 3 years at least. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's unless Bam really develops that three. And I'm not here to sell that, because that's not what I want Bam to do anyways. I want him to drive more inside and I start getting further and further away from the rim. But to me, Precious is still, like, showing you a lot for a rookie. I just don't think, like, for a guy that's going to give you 15 minutes a game, I think he does a pretty good job.
No, he's good. He's good. I don't want this to be that. But I don't, like, think he's going to be like.
I think the whole point is a little bit overstated, because, like, drafting Tyrese Maxey, who everybody, you know, fell in love with and who played well against the Heat, everybody's like, oh, my God, they made a mistake.
Say his name.
Tyrese Maxey does not make a difference.
Say Nikias's name. Nikias.
Oh, that's funny, because that wasn't the name that came to mind. No, shout out my guy, Frankie G. No, I'm playing around. But Tyrese Maxey, like, I think he's a good prospect. But, like, does he really make a difference on what's going on right now? Does he solve their point of attack defense? Come on, man. That's not.
No. Like, I don't hate the draft pick. I think it was, like, a good draft pick for where they were. I liked it. And I just think that they should look at moving him. Kind of going to Alex, I want to ask you the question I asked Andy and Sam. Like, who on the Heat do you trust? Because, like, after Jimmy and Bam and Goran's not even playing. Like, I guess you trust Tyler. Like, I feel
like
I trust
Tyler and Duncan to a degree, but because I know what I expect of them. Like Sam said before, a sliding scale, right? Another parallel. Like, I trust Jimmy more than I trust anybody else. Then right under him is Bam, and then after that, I trust Duncan to do what he does at an elite level on any given night, knowing that he's not going to hit five. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, he's still giving you a good percentage for the type of way that he's getting defended and the type of circumstances that he's in, where he's apparently their number one offensive option outside of Jimmy getting to the rack and getting, free throws. Like,
I mean, maybe if Bam looked at the rim, we'd have a different conversation.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Again, referring to the top of the show, like, they don't get what they need out of Bam. In that aspect of the transaction, with the transaction being that dribble handoff that they run over and over and over and over again, like, it's been scouted to death, and it could still be effective.
Oh, we have a live Heat rumor coming.
Oh, what's right? That?
I mean, isn't it? The Heat have expressed interest in Rudy Gay.
Oh yeah, shout out my guy Clutch Adam, from Five Reasons Sports Network, who reported that.
LaMarcus Aldridge also.
No, not LaMarcus Aldridge. There's no. Under no circumstances.
I talked myself into LaMarcus on the Warriors. That's where I'm at. I'm just, expiring deal.
Nice. Gee, I know you're against LaMarcus. I don't want you to get into your NBA Twitter hipster bag. That's not what I'm lobbying you up here for. What I will ask you is, no, because I already know where this is going. I'm not here to try to get your opinion on LaMarcus.
Zach Lowe agrees with me. I feel good about that.
NBA podcast and get the same opinion. But no, really what I'm going to ask
That's so good.
I mean, we all have the same opinion about LaMarcus. Everybody said the same thing. But what I do want to ask is, like, if it didn't cost you much, like, you know, the salary filler that we talk about over and over again, and you somehow get both Gay and Aldridge, I know these guys aren't going to fix everything for you, but would you be in on something like that where you're not really giving up much for guys like that?
Like, but you do not give up stuff. Like, I think that they're in a kind of a position where, like, they'll never find the guy that's, like, going to fix, like, their issues, right? Like, what they're going to have to find are imperfect guys. It's either going to be
Rudy Gay is like 80% of Harry B. So
guys that will help your offense but not your defense. Guys that, like, are offensive players but not good three-point shooters. I mean, Rudy, he's a 36% three-point shooter this year. He's not a dead-eye guy. I think they need I think he'd help, right? Like, he's not really getting in the free throw line. He's not stressing the rim very much. He plays more in the mid-range, and the Spurs have kind of been that way for a while. So, like,
he takes four threes a game. That same as Thad Young. I think Thad Young takes even less.
I'd probably prefer Thad, because I think just Thad solidifies your defense a little better, and he kind of positionally makes more sense at the four. But like, they have to solve switching. They can't deal with switching, right? And it's kind of loop Sam and Andy. And the scouting reports are out. Bam's not going to go at smaller dudes. So you're saying
basically that you're out on Gay being that type of guy?
No, like I would welcome it. Like, obviously, like, they need anybody. Like, this team, like, is, like, one of the worst offensive teams in the league. Like, I think they're right with the Warriors near the bottom. And it shouldn't be that way.
Wait, I didn't realize Bam was averaging 20.
Yeah, he is.
And we're still here. The consensus is he's not aggressive enough.
He's not.
A good point.
I can see why, though. It's not really the way he plays. It's not. Yeah. It's not really the
but it's like,
I love Bam. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I think there's one of these little guys that you're watching him every single day, every hour, yeah. and you're thinking of Bam so much. I think that's part of it. But
do you know how we all think of him? We saw him get ranked 13 by ESPN, and everybody's like, okay. He's in that type of category now. And when they think of guys as top 15 players, they think a guy who's going to give you, 25 whenever you need it. And I think that's just kind of how people look at it. I don't blame him. I don't blame people for wanting for Bam to add to his game. Like, it's frustrating at times, like just seeing him when he picks up his dribble at the top of the key. And it's like, well, now you could just overplay the handoff and you're not really going to get beat by it because Bam isn't going to take you all the way to the rim. He's already picked up his dribble and he does stuff like that all the time. And I think that's why we're so picky, like you said, because we watch every game and we know that he can be way better. Like, we see him do these hezzies on slower guys all the time and be like, well, why don't you do that every single time?
Right? Or at least more often. When Bam plays without Jimmy and Goran, it's bad. Like, the offense is bad. Like, he can't hub an offense. Like, when they leave him out with the bench units, they don't score. Part of that is they run handoffs. They switch. Fred VanVleet ends up on Bam and Bam doesn't look at the rim. Right. And it's like teams are getting away with that. Teams are like, oh, we could just switch wings onto Duncan. We can guard Bam with a wing and then switch him onto Duncan. We blow up their pet action and they're not going to punish us. And Bam's not going to try to repost and seal. And they take 15 fucking seconds to get into their set. They'll do their little horn stuff. They'll screen for Duncan and pistol in the corner. Right. And then all of a sudden, when they switch the handoff, you have 10 seconds left on the shot clock and, it's panic time with Bam at the elbow, right? And it's just like, part of that's on Spo, which is why I get like fans being upset, and part of that's just like, they need a guy roster. Yeah, no, they need a guy that is gonna get downhill, because when Duncan's coming off that hand up, they're gonna be scared of him.
It's hard to do both things though. Like LeBron, can do both, but it's like, man, you're asking him to be a top five player instead of a top, it's hard to be the main guy for both.
The other guy, his teammate does it. The other dude's doing it. Like, Jimmy's doing it. Like, Jimmy hubs their offense and their defense.
He is a vet. Bam's still what? 4 years in the league?
That's fine. Maybe we're being unreasonable. Maybe we're being unreasonable. But
I mean, you can always have Wiggins' contract. You guys can have Wiggins' contract.
You lose to some guy named Coffee and Garrison Matthews enough that, you start questioning. Do you know who Garrison Matthew is?
I'm pretty sure you made that name up. So
sounds white, yeah.
He's lit up the Heat on multiple occasions now. It's like an annual tradition now, even though he's only been in the league 2 years.
We're welcoming in our Photoshop and anime lover, Brass Chaz. Brass, you've been in there forever. You're ruining the bandwidth. You better have something good.
Ruining the bandwidth? No, I came here to kick you out for the precious slander. So finally.
Thank you.
I'm not going to accept this. This is not okay.
I know, just trading Precious for no reason. Like, that's why I hold Gianni accountable when I come on here the rare times I do, because he can't get away with these takes, Brass. I'm glad you're holding him accountable too.
It's insanity. And hi, Sam. Hi, Andy. How you doing? Yeah.
What's up, man?
I can't let him just run over our Precious rookie like that.
I just noticed, shout out Andy for having like the City Knights Heat colors in the background. Just noticed that. Like, it's like the Vice logo. Very nice.
You'll be shocked to learn that I love those jerseys. Just the
way. How do you feel about this year's?
Sam is not shocked.
This season's version of it?
The first piece of team merchandise of a non-Barrier team I've purchased in over a decade is like a Heat jersey. Like the Vice ones.
Have the jersey?
Which one?
Dwayne Wade, of course.
Thank you.
For my favorite players.
I want to say the baby blue one. Whichever one. I was just like, I'm going to kick myself when they discontinue these and don't bring them back for 20 years. So,
you know what they did now, though, is like, how a lot of people will say, TV shows shouldn't have more than two seasons. People will have takes like that where, like, people will kind of take it too far. I think that's kind of what's happened this year. And I don't blame them, just because Nike is kind of forcing everybody to do it now, to come out with these jerseys. But man, I'm not in on the ones from this year, man. Like, we've seen enough of a sample size now, and that matters with jerseys too. And
I'm not in. The team is losing so much.
You know what? Like that them. Might be true. I think that's why we didn't like the black tie ones either, because they were losing.
Oh, the black tie ones just sucked. Those were awful. Fuck that. Those are bad jerseys. Like the marketing really fucked up there. I like the ones now. I mean, I
Myers was here for those home strong jerseys.
For the home strong jerseys. They had Tyler Johnson and Deion's fat ass in them.
So how much fat, you, Myers Leonard would have gone crazy.
I would take Deion right now. I would take Deion so hard right now.
He's available.
Jeff, I think Deion over. The buyout market, baby.
I take him over Kendrick.
I'd forgive him so quick. I don't care what he said.
Oh yeah, I don't. He can have all the gummies he wants. I
mean, NBA champion so Deion Waiters.
Huh?
NBA champion.
Yeah, that was a pause. Good call.
Deion brought us a lot of fun times. And I'm just going to look at him positively. I don't care what he said in the finals. Champ cheese, baby.
Deion's a content machine. Like, you know, when your team's bad and you're strapped for content, I mean, we've done this before.
That's what
like,
I'm saying, man.
You need a guy like Deion, right? You need a guy like Hassan. That keeps you going. You need James Shaw.
By the way, we love Jerry West out here because he figured out how to draft a couple guys in our scouting department now can't figure out who to draft. But Jerry West actually loved Deion Waiters. So. You know,
when the guy maybe. Recognizes talent, clearly.
Fourth best shooting guard.
Are you 50% Kobe, 50% Wade. What else do you want?
Yeah.
Are you guys are firmly Dwayne is better than Jerry West, correct? Or do I have to kick you off the show?
I refuse to say anyone who played in black and white is better than anyone who played in color. Come on.
Thank
now.
You. That's all. Listen, that's fine. That's all
Dwayne,
I need to
say. Dwayne Wade is my third rule. Favorite. Dwayne Wade is my third favorite player of time. It's Steph Nash and Wade.
That's a great take, Andy. That's a great take.
I still remember when D-Wade won the one game against, I think it was the Celtics or someone, then drops like 50 or something.
We remember that.
Sweet. Yeah.
46 yelled at his
46. Head. 46. Yeah. That's throws the ball down on the court. I was just like, as a kid, I loved him. I love Wade. Yeah. And now he loves Steph, so it all really
works. You know what I think the similarity between those three is? And I've been thinking about this a lot. None of them were supposed to be superstars, right? Like that there's a character trait for guys who were not supposed to be the man who ended up proving that they're the man that's infinitely more endearing than like someone who's been hyped up since they were 12 years old. You know, I don't know how else to put it, but that's it's like, point. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green both have that same characteristic in their own ways. They're obviously different types of players, but it's just like, Jimmy wasn't supposed to be a star and he just like, you know, kind of like, fuck you, you know, I'm just going to do it. Right. So I don't know. I feel like that's why you like sports, right? Like no one likes like the commercial, like, oh, this 16 year old is going to be the greatest thing ever. And he's already a multi-billionaire at this age. And we know he's great. You know?
LeBron.
Hey, at least he backed it up. I'll give him that.
LeBron, Zion, right? Like these guys that are young and they get the, like, I mean, I don't follow high school sports, but like I knew Zion's name. I was like, okay, this is some kid that's gonna be good.
Here's a better connection been on point.
YouTube. Yes,
LaMelo Ball. How do you guys feel right now after you know the way he started out?
I just heard their podcast on this.
You guys ready to go 3 hours?
No, I do listen to Light Years, but I just wanted to lob him up.
Well, Sam, you were wrong. You were wrong on him. You didn't think he was gonna be this good.
I was wrong on him. You're right. But me you know too. What? I'm not a exec in the front office, so I can be wrong.
I'm paying $10 million to Sam.
You're not.
I mean, if you want to, I'll do a lot more film work. I don't know, man. I hate it because like I want Wiseman to be good, but it's just very hard to watch LaMelo and not think,
yeah,
this could. Cool guy. First off, he fits perfect with everyone can play with Steph. That's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But secondarily, it's like it's annoying watching him being like, man, him plus Steph plus Brad Wanamaker could be really fun. You know, like it could be, I don't know, like it could get him closer to what we want, which is him competing for a title.
Okay, so we're wrapping up. We're running on time. We can't keep Sam and Andy all night. They play tomorrow. I asked you guys already, like, you know, if you guys thought it was more COVID excuses or not, like, huh? What happened? What'd you say?
Oh, was that me? Was that me?
Yeah, I thought you said,
no.
Yeah. The connection's been weird. We're trucking along. They play y'all tomorrow. I know that the Warriors haven't won three straight. Like, is it, you know, does the fan base look as, and I like this because I got, you know, we don't really, you know, we have like national people on or whatever, but it's nice to talk to like people that are more kind of entrenched in like, you know, community Twitters and stuff like that. Like, is this something that, you know, the fan base is like, oh, Peter playing like shit. You know, we should get this. And then we'll be close to finally getting three in a row. Cause I know the Warriors haven't had that yet. No.
I don't think so. I think Warriors fans are thinking chalking this one up to an L. I think they think like what? well, I mean, it's Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo.
Is that it? Is that all it is?
That's pretty much it. This is a team like they're a top five defense, but I don't take the defense that seriously because I think that they lock down against bad teams. They beat the Cavs by like 30 last night, and it's like, dude, yeah, they'll play great defense against those guys, but. A lot of the times, you talk about Steph's MVP case, and I don't personally care whether he's in the MVP race or not. He's great as is, but they've got to win some games against some teams that are good at basketball. And I know what you guys have said, like, this team
we're the same.
I know. Spider-Man means. But anytime that the Warriors have gone up and played any type of team that's good at basketball, they've lost the game by at least like 15 points. And so this is another one. Maybe Miami is more on the Dallas level. Of like they're kind of a fringe playoff team right now, but I don't think by any means Warriors fans are saying this is a win. I think it'd be nice if they won, but I think a lot of Warriors fans are looking this like, yeah, Jimmy Butler's probably going for 30. Bam's probably has 15 offensive rebounds tonight. Who's guarding them? Like who the fuck's guarding them?
I also think. I also think it's like this has been a weird season. Like three quarters of the teams in the league are around 500. You know, maybe a couple games under, maybe a couple games over. And so I think everyone's just kind of defaulting to last year and what they think of who is a good team and who is not. And like the Heat were very good last year and they obviously went to the finals and had a great bubble run. So, and you know, I don't think fans are looking at it like, oh man, they're 11-16. They're not that good. They're looking at it as, oh, everyone's healthy now. That's a challenging team.
I would like to agree with you, but I saw them pretty healthy lose to Clippers third strings. And like they, you know, they have this thing where their defense has been okay. They've been like a top 10 defense, but it's kind of fake because everything's separated by like 0.5. It's so fake. And they're punching above there. I think they're closer to like 12, 13 than they are to 10, right? Which is fine.
Tiffany,
like, Tiffany, what?
No, I was going to say Tiffany on Hangover Time was saying it. I mean, she was going in on it yesterday. I thought she did a great job like she always does, but she was talking about how undisciplined they are on defense and all the mistakes they were making. And I know last night was worse than others because that's how you lose to the Clippers without Kawhi, Paul George, Pat Bev, and Batum by just being absolutely terrible on defense. But man, they have had so many games like that where like the defensive intangibles and just kind of guys nailing rotations like they were last season, it's not there at all for a consistent stretch. Like their defense needs a complete buffering. And tomorrow, I'm going to say it right now, I think Jordan Poole is going to go off. I'm trying to think of another guy.
He's going to have like a career night. No, he will definitely have a career night. Everybody we've played has had their career nights against us.
Every time. Sure. And it's always a random shooter because the Heat allow a shit ton of threes. And it's like a huge theme throughout the season is that the teams are missing, I mean, are making them at a higher rate than they were last year. And they're just not, they're not sharp with the closeouts. They're not sharp with the defensive rotations. Somebody's going to go off. And I'm trying to think.
Remember the name, Michael Mulder.
Oh, we know Michael Mulder.
I forgot he was in here. Oh, yeah. Mulder and Nunn. We can swap them. Then we can both be unhappy and swap them back.
It's just a revolving door of misery.
But you say, I say Poole, you say Mulder. I think it's going to be one of them, though. Watch. Somebody's going to go off and hit like five threes. Watch.
Maybe Damian Lee.
Alex, I'll buy back a little bit because I think last year their defense was fucking cataclysmic before the trade.
No, but I was talking about mostly the bubble.
I think last night was just a weird game. I don't think that they're that bad defensively, and I think probably they were focusing a lot on offense. But like, you know,
I've lost confidence in their defense. When Bam is on the perimeter,
I'm done with the overswitching. They overswitch and they're very willing. Thing.
Once again, it's like the chicken or the egg conversation with the Heat. Like I think that Bam.
I thought they looked much, good,
but man, like he needs to be on the back line and he doesn't trust his perimeter defense. He doesn't.
I'm fine when they drop
his team's perimeter defense is what I meant to say.
Like if they get beat And if Jimmy's that help man, I'm okay with it. Because like the issue with yesterday
wasn't
that.
He's the only one that could do it.
Okay, but the issue with yesterday wasn't it's good coaching by Ty Lue. They were looking for threes from the wings and not from the corners, right? And because Jimmy's that help man from the corner, he's coming in, he's digging in on drives.
I looked up Garrison Matthews. He looks exactly like I would expect him to look.
Imagine losing to that twice. Imagine losing to that twice.
He went off. Like, he went crazy in two straight years of this. Like, it's insane. One time
it was Justinian Jessup vibes.
Ooh. Career night.
For the legend.
Peyton Pritchard. I mean, I don't know. They're different types of players, but he beat the Heat on a game winner. So losing to these guys.
We need to bring up Nico Mannion tomorrow then. Nico Mannion's a good guy for you guys to play then. Yeah, that'll probably be a good one.
Everyone's
he's so pale, he looks like a blinding.
Everyone's do you guys know what a random scrub heat killer is? RSHK? It's like a Heat Twitter thing where like
who
legitimately
every team has those guys. Who's your guys?
First ballot Hall of Famer, Marcus Thornton. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Andy, who are the Warriors one? The first one that pops to mind is Will Barton.
Will Barton's a huge one.
He's Rodney good. Hold on. Will Barton's good. Will Barton's good.
No, but he's good. Great. Will Barton becomes KD. Against KD. Like that's Will Durant to you against the Warriors. You know?
That 15-footer is just butter. Just 20 in a row.
No, Ellington used to kill the Heat. Ellington was
good
really
that you
bad.
Mentioned butter, by the way, because shout out Dos Minutos. Like somebody is going to shoot. Like butter, you know, smooth like almond milk tomorrow, man. It's gonna be somebody from the Warriors roster. He wanted me to get in a milk reference somehow, so that's
he did. No brands.
He's gonna be caught in a butter situation.
Did you guys see that? Did you guys see that? That
the Heat Warriors guys with Heat insiders
inside Heat broadcaster John Crotty called something the butter zone. I'm not even sure what the butter zone was, and he keeps saying this. Butter situation. He keeps saying this.
Situation. He said butter situation.
He calls it the butter zone too. And finally, his play-by-play guy Eric Reed says,
calls everything "What is situation.
What is the butter zone?" And he's like, "I don't know." He made that shit up.
Eric Reed was not there to help on the backline defense, like he always was with Tony. Checked out.
He just did not rotate to help at all.
Eric Reed and Bam are simpatico.
Yeah. Tomorrow should be fun. Alex, their defense is better than it was last year, but it sucks. Their offense sucks. There's no hope. But at least we can laugh. At least we have jokes. Thank you to Sam and Andy. Check out their podcast, Light Years. Check out everything. We want to plug anything. What do you guys got?
That's it. No.
Check out the pod. That's it. Check out the pod.
It's good. Guys,
every night.
It's legit.
Yeah, goal to get Steve Kerr fired. Is that the end game here?
The goal is for Steve Kerr to coach like he gives a shit about the basketball season. That's the goal.
There he goes. Dunking the lob once again.
Nikias, sir? What up, man?
Yeah, no, superstar. Nikias dropping in. Nikias making time out of his superstar schedule to join. But not for real, guys.
Nikias coming in the fourth quarter to sit courtside.
Yeah. Light Years is a great pod, even if you're just an NBA fan who wants to listen, and it's good perspective. It's funny. It's if you like the show, you like Light Years. It's really fun. The guests are great. Last episode with Andrew Sharp was outstanding as always. Gentlemen, thank you so much for making time for us. We appreciate joining our nonsense. Out you and Twitch channel, thank you so much for Twitch chat. You guys are great. Join our Patreon if you don't already. We have a poll up for a watch party Thursday or Monday. I'm losing my days track. Join our Patreon. We have a lot of rewards. We have a newsletter that goes out for one of our Patreon tiers. Another is a watch party tier. We have other great rewards. So check that out. Patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. Check out all the stuff we're doing with Twitch. And remember, pre and post game shows every game, even on the West Coast. So Alpha's hosting Hangover Time after every Heat game. And obviously Jack and I have you covered. Pre-game, we're killing ourselves here. We're murdering ourselves on this West Coast trip. We all work. We all have day jobs, and we're doing this for y'all. Andy, Sam, thank you. Alex, Brian, y'all the best.
Klay Thompson's a Satanist.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance.
From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.